You're listening to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast,
featuring the leadership of Ron Kitchens.
The topics discussed today are designed
to keep you moving always forward. Welcome, everyone, to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Tim Tarantine, here with Ron Kitchens. Ron, we're going to talk about generations today and succession planning and the future of organizations. You ready to ride?
Yeah, it sounds like a big topic, and so
it is.
We'll squeeze it in the next 16 minutes.
We're going to do our best. Now, there's an assumption we have to make about this issue of generations, and George Orwell said it best. Each generation imagines itself to be more intelligent than the one that went before it and wiser than the one that comes after it, right? And so everybody's got opinions on this generation thing. If you just Google search succession planning and generational differences, you'll get a million different opinions about it. What we want to center our discussion today is, what do leaders do when there's differences in generations in organization? So, millennials are hot topics. Let's start where it's hot. We featured it in the 269 magazine. It's a key issue for the region. The question, Ron, why is it such a big deal?
Because it's the biggest workforce. It's pretty close. I see different projections that say it's now or it's in the next 3 years. Kind of depends on what the stock market's doing about how fast the baby boomers retire. But millennials are not only the workforce, they're the customers of today. So great businesses understand you have to meet the expectations of the market. So if your business is focused on services and products to baby boomers, maybe you don't worry so much about millennials or Gen X or Gen Y. But if the fact of the matter is you're selling to a broad spectrum of people, and we look at who's got discretionary income and who's buying and who's making decisions, you'd better make sure that you're getting good input. Your organization is led by people who understand that. The same as, you know, I don't want to walk into an organization who diversity for them is measured by some people have brown suits on and some people have blue, but they're all 60-year-old gray-haired men. That's not what we want to look at today. We have to look like the expectations of our customers. And that's why talking about millennials is important. You know, I guess I'm on that cusp, Gen X. And so, you know, I've been through Y now and millennials. And hearing those discussions, they're not much different than they were before. They're just bigger because of the volume of people in this next generation.
I want to look with you on both sides of the coin on this generational piece. So people want to talk about the differences in generations, and we'll get there in just a minute. What I want to hear from you is, what are our similarities? What do you see in the workplace? What do people, no matter what age, what do they really want?
So the interesting thing is we have three generations. No, we have baby boomer, X, Y, and millennial. We have four generations in our organization.
Correct.
And I don't notice, except for the acceptance and the expectation of equality, I don't notice any difference in work ethic, in passion, in speed, and in commitment to mission. What younger generations believe, and frankly, they've always believed, is inequality. Equality is always granted and demanded by new people in the community of leadership. So I think now we're clearly seeing the millennial generation demanding equality in opportunity for all, not just access for all. You know, if we look back to the 60s, we saw the baby boomers were demanding equality and social change. So this is a function of youth, not a function of the different generations.
Let's go a little deeper on that, though, because for all those similarities, it seems to me that culture and leadership in an organization can trump generational differences.
Absolutely. I mean, we're hiring people who are passionate about mission. Now, we want them to be passionate about our mission, but nearly everyone I can think of in our organization also is passionate about another area of their life, whether it's a social area, whether it's a family business, whether it's education, but they are passionate about and driving things. And that's just, it's about who we hire. You know, I know other organizations that focus on hiring particular types of people who are passionate about competition. These are people who will compete about who can tie their shoe the fastest.
Right.
That's the culture. And it doesn't matter the age.
Yeah.
That's what they're hiring. So absolutely, culture trumps all of those things.
So when you think about what is going on today, there's a lot of rhetoric that comes from boomers and millennials alike. You know, those young people want it now. They want to be CEOs today. They don't want to show up on time. They want to work in their pajamas. You've heard all the ridiculous quotes and statements about the millennial generation. However, your word has been, why in the world are we complaining? Let's get proactive. How do leaders move from this complaining rhetoric to actually engaging across generations?
You know, leaders, organizations, they get older, get cranky. And, you know, this whole complaining about millennials is just cranky baby boomers who want to believe that that generation isn't as dedicated and hardworking. You know, I remember, and I've shared this story with you, that early in my career, I had a great banker who was an incredible mentor to me, and he came to me and tried to hire me to go to work for his bank. And I tried to ask about the jobs and what it was like. And, you know, long story short, he said, so we're going to work you to death. We're going to force you to crank it out. You're going to work long hours. It's going to be hard for 15 years. But then at the end of 15 years, you'll be an executive vice president or president. And then we're going to pay you a huge amount of money. We're going to underpay you for 15 years. But then you'll get a huge amount of money and you'll get to be involved in the community and you'll have all this influence in the community. And I looked around and went, well, I don't have to wait. Why would I wait to do those things? You know, that's 30 years ago. It's no different today with millennials. They're just not willing to wait and they don't need to. You know, if I wanted information before, I had to go to the library and I had to ask Frieda Sweet, our librarian, to go find data for
Frieda
me
Sweet.
From other libraries. Yeah. And she dated my grandfather.
Yeah.
So, you know, Frieda hooked me up with good data. So she would get me this information. I have all that and more. I have the world's knowledge on my phone, and so does every millennial.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I empower them? Why wouldn't I say, here's our goal. Here's where we want to go. Help me go faster.
Yeah.
You can do it. I believe in you to do these things. That's what this generation thing's about. And this whole idea that millennials don't want to wear Brooks Brothers suits and white shirts to work, you know what? Neither do I.
Truth be told.
Yeah. I mean, people want to work comfortably.
Sure.
I just came up in a time where that was the expectation. You know, I have three colors of ties. I have blue when I'm being sincere. I have red when I want to feel powerful. And I have orange when I'm feeling creative.
Right.
That's the world I grew up in where you had three colors of suits. Blue, black, and gray. I don't look good in brown. So, you know, you could go there, but I'm washed out wearing brown.
I understand.
So that's the world that we grew up in. That's not the world today.
There's a different dynamic, Ryan, going on in this generational conversation, and this group usually gets left out. So there's millennials, and then there's boomers, but there's this whole other group, Gen X, Gen Yers, who are, you know, 30 to 50 years old, who are playing this bridge in the workplace. And I'll give you my real example. So I grew up, I'm a Gen Yer, I'm 37 years old. I grew up with both the Dewey Decimal System in the library. And by the time I got to high school, to be a senior in high school, it was the first real internet searches. Now, the high school I went to, we didn't have a whole lot of internet searching going on. But by the time I got to college, it had all moved to computers. So in my lifetime, I saw and have experienced the millennial way of living. And I got taught by the boomers and what they called the greatest generation. So I'm in this bridge and we're bridging this gap. What advice do you have for those 30 to 50-year-olds who are managing, who are on their way up, but having to close this distance between these huge generations?
So the first thing, the advice has got to go to those who are the point leaders, who are the above that group. Age doesn't matter. So like you, I'm on that cusp. So, you know, my mom's a boomer. I'm on the edge of that boomer Gen X. I tend to lean younger, so I claim to be an X.
Sure.
But it's clear that those organizations that get stuck in hierarchy, you know, I've said it before, and I wish I'd came up with the line, I stole it from Andy Stanley, that, you know, I'm only in charge because I got here first. The fact of the matter is, if you want to be a great organization, age doesn't matter, pedigree doesn't matter, where you went to school doesn't matter. What are you talented at? What do you have the energy and the drive to be awesome at? And then get the heck out of their way. As a leader, you win when the people below you win. You can't go any higher, any faster, any farther by yourself. You can only do that if your rocket engine has fuel.
Yeah.
And your rocket engine is those people in those next generations below you. You empower them, and you're going to find you win a whole lot more.
That is counterculture, but it's what we need. Let's really quickly, before we get out of here, talk about succession planning, because that is, with this baby boomer transition, there's a lot of organizations looking for new point leaders, trying to figure out who's next in the leadership, ownership, management of my company. What advice do you have to point leaders, to organizational leaders, to pastors, to superintendents on this issue of succession planning?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I was with a business owner yesterday for lunch talking about this very issue and coaching through this. And he's struggling. He's spent 40 years, has built an incredible organization. You know, he's 64, 65 years old. He said, I don't want to retire. I don't love anything else other than my organization and my family and my church. And I don't want to give up one of those. But I don't want to be responsible every day. And I know that people in the last few years have left my organization because there's no place to rise. What do I do? You know, we had a great conversation, but that's the hardest question. As a leader, how much can you give up to your team to allow them to own, to be successful? And what are you going to replace it with? And I think too many times we do that in the wrong order. So my advice to him was, find what you want to do next and commit to do that 20% of your time immediately. And then in 6 months, commit to do it 40% of your time. And in 6 more months, commit to do it 50% of your time. What you'll do is empower leaders on your team, but you'll still have something that feeds your soul.
Yeah.
You know, my grandfather, and I've shared this with you, my grandfather lived into his early 90s, and at the end of his life, I sat down with them, and as you know, my grandfather was the driving male force of my life after my father died when I was very young. And I said, what lesson didn't I learn? What didn't you tell me? And he thought for a minute, and he said, biggest mistake I made was retiring. And my grandfather was not a rich man. He was very frugal, but he retired early, carried a toolbox for Sears. He was a refrigeration repairman. And he said, I ceased to be relevant. The people who were still working were having experiences that I couldn't relate to, and the people who were retiring were having the same day over and over, and it didn't feed my soul. And he didn't know he'd live 35 years plus after he retired, and he said it was the loneliest time of my life. It struck me that we as humans need to have something that feeds our soul, that challenges us on a daily basis. And that mostly is what people are afraid of when they talk about succession planning. It's not doing what they do every day, because a lot of people are bored with what they do every day. They'd give that up. They just don't know what to go do next. So I think we have to challenge leaders, whether you're a new leader crafting your career for the next 40 years, or you're a senior leader who spent 40 years, you got to plan the next 5 years. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to lift up those behind you.
So passing the torch is obviously critically important. We're wrapping up. Tell us the best way for leaders to pass that torch of leadership through the generations.
Gosh, that's a tough one. It is intentional and with the spirit of, I believe in you. you've got to look at people, understand their talents, and not expect them to emulate you.
Hmm.
We don't have anyone on our team whose strengths profile is exactly the same as mine.
Right.
So saying, here, I'm going to transition, and so I'm going to find somebody who's exactly like me. Well, if our board of directors was hiring somebody to replace me, the job's different than it was when I got here. It takes a different set of skills. Now, I've grown into it and created it, but they don't need a clone of me. And too many times, leaders wait to find a clone to pass it to, and that is invariably a mistake. Because you can find somebody who has that, but I bet the job's changed from what you think it is. And we see it in big corporations all the time that are successful. They put the number two in who's a direct clone of the number one, and they last 9 months and fail. So you've got to be strong about analyzing what's needed, empowering people along the way, where the transition really is a function of switching desks.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ron, for your insights on this issue of generations. We hope that all of you who are listening harness the power of the differences in the generations and go further, faster, forward. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We hope today's insights will help you develop into the leader you dream to be. To subscribe to Ron's blog or to submit a question for Ron to discuss in a future podcast, visit ronkitchens.com or tweet him at ronkitchens.
Still listening? Hungry for more leadership development? It's not too early to grab your ticket for Catalyst University 2017, happening on January 26th in Kalamazoo, Michigan. No matter where you're at in your life, Catalyst University will help you launch your leadership to new heights. Or if you're a point leader, it's a great opportunity to send your team and help them become that next level leadership. You can visit catalystuniversity.me to learn more about tickets, about this one-day leadership conference that's unlike anything you've ever experienced.